Hello and welcome back to the final recap episode of 2024. As always, or for the first time, actually, I'm one fifth of your hosting crew. We have a full house on the program today. I, Wes Tolleson, calling from Dallas, Texas. Walker Lott and Ryan Schroeder, your normal host, call in from College Station and Oklahoma City, respectively. Waverly West, you're familiar with from last week, calls in from the Brazos Valley. And for the first time ever, actually, Bradley Hanna calling in from Houston, Texas, one of our other fantastic student analysts. If you were at State this weekend, you got to saw Bradley running around, keeping stats, helping us video. What
Her
else?
his own interviews is too
His own
your
interview, that's what I was
interviews.
going to say. Bradley might have done as many or more interviews as I did since I was gone for D1. Yeah, it turns out that we figured out that the kids could do things and we made them do those things. But in all seriousness, we're incredibly grateful for what both of you did at State. Bradley, haven't had a chance to speak on episode yet. Number one, any overarching thoughts on States? And number two, thank you for coming on the program.
Yeah, of course. Thank you all for having me on. Pretty usual. I personally had a great time at State. I had a great time getting to meet everyone because before that I'd only met Walker in person, I think. So I got to meet you, Wes, Ryan, and then the other student analysts. It was a great time. We got to watch some football and have a great time.
Definitely so. What were your thoughts on George's?
Okay, so I actually texted one of my friends when we were when y'all said we were going to George's. He went to Baylor and he said, "You know what? George's is classic. It's a great place." And I had some nice chili dogs, I'll say
You did. Good. Okay. I was scared. The way you were amping up, I was scared you were going to
that.
slander George's, and that would have been your last words on this program, as we would have kicked you out very shortly. But I'm glad you enjoyed it. It's a staple for the podcast. Ms. Waverly West, thank you for coming back yet again. Same question as Bradley. I will first of all say thank you for your coverage in Waco and any overarching thoughts. A lot of stuff happened. Who would have thought in the four state championship games? But your thoughts on the contests.
I mean, yeah, every game definitely had really good aspects. Some of them were obviously bigger blowouts than others. Some were much closer, but I had a great time, like Bradley said, and all of them were super fun to be at, met lots of fun people, and always a fun time.
Absolutely. Walker Lott and Ryan Schroeder, we are on a tight time budget. So I'm going to ask for one sentence from each of you to describe the emotional whirlwind of the weekend. Ryan Schroeder, I'm going to make you go first. One sentence on State.
Well said. All right, let's move on to the next
Walker
one.
Lott. Ryan Schroeder will come back to you.
Dude, that's insane. How did I just blank?
Gross. Wet,
Oh, that's good. That's good.
rainy, fun, good times.
Yeah, that's not a sentence, but
I
hold
it
up.
does that's more of just a
There's a lot of commas in there. I wasn't an English major, so
that's
don't.
fair. Ryan Schroeder, do you have a sentence as opposed to a conglomeration of words?
No, it's good. My good friend Coach Jason LeVorn said that I know ball. So if you didn't know that, now you do.
We're gonna have to
From
hear about
Coach
that,
LeVorn,
Wes, for the rest of our time. We're
is
doing
that
this.
wait? Can I slot that? Can we slot that in right
Nope.
here? Slot
Nope.
that
Ryan
in.
doesn't edit the episode, so
Yep,
you
I
will not
do.
see that right
Speaking
here.
of editing the episodes, Wes, you missed the last episode of the season's intro to the episode. So, you didn't do the intro this
See,
time.
I know I
So.
didn't. I thought about that before and realized that I am
Can
I
we
don't know
fire
how
him?
much longer my voice has left. You figure out if you cover a game in 40 degree rain for 3 hours, you're going to get sick from it. So we're probably going to get to the Second Baptist game and my voice is going to completely go out. We'll see, but I decided I was going to be as conservative as possible,
Understandable.
maintaining my voice. That's not just because I forgot to do it. Anyways, that is that. You know what? Let's go straight into the pick record. I would say I have it on my phone. I do not. Ryan Schroeder, I think you, since we'll come out and say it right now, Ryan Schroeder won the pick record. He is now not the defending champion, but he has won it twice now. He has now finally gotten up to my level with two pick record championships after I held it for two consecutive years. Walker Lott finished second. I finished third. Technically, Ryan has a better winning percentage than the three of us since he has taken a year off. So, in two out of the 3 years he has participated, he has won. So, Ryan Schroeder, I don't have the exact game number in front of me. All I know is I finished two games behind y'all, I think, and you finished tied with Walker, but the point differential decided it.
Yes. So final record should be 204 and 54. Me and Walker both would finish with that. West will finish 202 and 56. And from a record standpoint, we crunched the numbers on the games, and I finished with a 112 point differential, and Walker finished with a 133 point differential. That's actually really bad in the grand scheme of things. Like, to think about it, like, we had multiple games where we were 40 points off. That's really bad. But me and Walker both did have games where we were only 6 points off the score, which is pretty impressive. But anyways, all that to say, it's been great. I'm ready to bring the trophy home, if there is one. And if not, that's okay. I will be happy with bragging for the next 9 months.
I would like to remind you how humble I remained in the 12 months following my pick record
Humble,
trophy.
humble, bro.
It just it's an elite fraternity to be a part of. You don't have to go around saying that you
Good.
have the trophy. It's just it's sort of assumed. All that being said, even finishing last, I picked games at like an 80% clip. I'll take it. I'm sure Walker will also take the clip that he picked games that he does not. Walker, any closing thoughts on how the pick record race shaped out?
No, I was there. I tied for first. I was there for the taking, and pit points just don't go my way, even though that was agreed upon beforehand. Still, I don't like it. I disagree, and I will revolt. Like, how was I supposed to know the D2 game was gonna have rain? I didn't know the weather when we predicted it, so I think it's a sham. And also with what we're about to talk about with Ryan's thing, I think his bet was so bad he doesn't deserve the pick
Well,
championship. So I
we're
think
good.
that should be into account. Just embarrassing by his part, to be honest. And
Sure.
yeah, just disappointed, honestly, man. It's hard over here for being here. I've done so much for this organization and company, and I still don't have a pick record trophy, so it hurts here.
Well, it's funny that you do mention Ryan's terrible bet, because that is the next thing I have on the script. If we will flash back to about a week prior, Ryan went on a tirade about how nobody can kick in TXPS, to which a bunch of people got in our DM said they could, which I thought was funny. That's not the point. We set the line at five, over under five combined missed extra points and field goals on the four games over 2 days. One kick was missed in those 2 days, which I think is hilarious that Ryan was that far off. Myself, I picked the under. 53% of our Twitter respondents picked over. So Ryan, you were in good company. A decent amount of people thought there would be at least five kicks missed over the 2 days, but they were severely wrong. You were severely wrong. Closing thoughts on being severely wrong.
I want to absolutely check this because I want to make sure I get it right. I think it was either three or four field goals total. I think it was four, maybe three. Doesn't matter. The total that were kicked the entire weekend. I like I said, I'm a little willing to die on the fact that yeah, didn't you know they didn't miss five field goals, but they didn't take five field goals. So like, and extra points wise, obviously, yeah, I'll fall on the fact that I was wrong for sure because we combined them together. But my goodness, dude. I mean, some of those kicks look terrible. I mean, those things were flopping right over the goalpost, right? I just like right over top. And it's like, I don't want to be disrespectful because obviously a lot of the kickers got very upset at me. And, but let's just say this. There's not an emphasis in private school football at the moment on special teams like there is in other categories. There's not enough staffing to put an emphasis on it. There's not a lot of things. The reason why a lot of these quarterbacks punt, a lot of these quarterbacks hold, a lot of these kickers, do just play a wide receiver position or whatever and stuff is because there's no emphasis on it at all. And I think that's all my story has been told. One missed kick, a lot of kicks, they didn't look great, and a couple kicks that look really good. I'll take the L, but for the 53% that agree with me, you know what I'm talking about. Not an emphasis in private school sports on the kicking game.
The double down is crazy.
Yeah, my
That's
counterpoint
fine.
is
That's fine.
I think North Texas private schools is like kind of established a kicking mafia. Like
Right.
Dewars at Prestonwood's going to Vandy. I know Legacy's kickers are really good. Anyways, we're not going to spend time on that because we have other things to get to. However, Ryan was incorrect. I wish we had actually bet
Whatever.
something on this because maybe I could have gotten a free dinner at George's out of it. But nonetheless, we move on to
What? Oh, whoa. Real quick. In your feed soon, you'll be looking at the pick losers. The pick loser, Mr. Wes Tolleson, will have to do a cheer routine put out by Waverly. Make sure to keep a lookout for that. Let's not forget that Wes Tolleson, the loser by the largest margin. Put that in your feed very soon. Keep a lookout for that.
Well, yeah, I had assumed that we had all forgotten about that and really thought
Nope.
that I was gonna get away with that. And apparently that's not the case. So I'm going to yet again hope that in a couple of days everyone forgets about that again and we can continue to move on. So Ryan, thank you for bringing that up.
Right,
And by the way, it was not a large margin. It was 2 games. Moving on to the Mount Rushmore, the final one we are going to do this season. We decided we are going to pick our own personal Mount Rushmore of TXPS jerseys. That is correct. It's the same Mount Rushmore format as we have done several times this season. We're going to do a snake draft order. Everyone's going to get 4 picks. So everyone knows what a snake draft is. I'm not going to explain it. If you don't know, you'll figure it out pretty quickly. You know what? I'm going to go first because
Of
I know
course. Of
for a
course he will. Of
fact, I know
course he
for a
will.
fact no one's going to take my number one pick. If I was going to pick Parrish or something, like I know one of you is going to pick on the first go around, I wouldn't do that. But I have, quite honestly, the best jerseys to ever exist in TXPS, so I'll pick those first. I just wanted to decide the order really quickly, and I'm just doing it by the way I can see on my screen. So what we're going to do is me, Walker, Bradley, Waverly, Ryan, and then the train back up. Walker,
Okay.
Ryan, you're at the very bottom of my screen, so you're going last. I'm sorry.
Dude, just being disrespectful. I get it. It's fine. I mean, you don't have to be that mad about losing the pick record. As I mean, just I guess. Okay. I'll go fifth. No,
I'm
I go
seething. I'm
wraparound.
yeah, you got the snake. You got the snake
I
around.
get the
So you
snake.
do.
I get the
You get the
snake,
snake around. And
so
there's a lot
I
of
get the snake, so
value in the middle. You know, in the 2, 3 picks of this
yeah.
of the snake draft. So I'm doing you a favor, to be honest with you. You're
Thank
welcome.
you.
Out of the kindness of my heart,
Mm.
for my first pick, I am taking the greatest jerseys that have ever existed in Texas private school football. Pre-2021 Grace Community.
Oh, come on.
Nope, don't care. Don't care. Those Adidas jerseys are the best jerseys to ever exist. I'm saying as a kid that was 150 pounds in high school,
Yes,
they're
because
so
it's
tight that I
yeah.
actually could fill out my jersey. It was a beautiful thing. By the way, the blue colorway, the white colorway, the gray colorway. Ryan, I mean, Walker, we had an argue with this on Twitter. You said I didn't have any drip in high school. I can't believe I just said that word out loud. And I showed you the all whites were
Yes.
clean. Don't
They
care.
were
I'll ride for
clean.
those jerseys forever.
Those jerseys, Adidas back in the day, I don't know if it's still like, I'm gonna guess it is, but they were so tight, so no one wanted to play in them because you had to like cut them open basically to get inside them. But for you, yes, skinny
Oh,
you,
yeah.
that works perfect. But
Oh, yeah.
still,
No.
they're not great. They're not the top, but I will respect your alma mater in a
I
way.
agree. And I will say, to tell you how skinny I was in high school, I was originally number 4 when I was like a freshman and sophomore. The number 4 was like a, I think it was like a large and it was baggy on me. I had to get the medium number 7 to get tight. Yeah, that's, but the Adidas jerseys could do that. They were beautiful things. That's all I will talk about. That's the last you'll hear me mention Grace Community on the episode. I promise.
So is it me next? Is that the
It's you. It's you, then Bradley, then Waverly, then Ryan.
All right, I'll go clear number day. I'll go Parrish. I mean, there's no other 1A, 1B, 1C. There's Parrish. I'll do the red, they're white. They're all white. They're red and the white. Like, they perfected the red and white and blue, and it's been unbelievable watching their jerseys. They've always been good. They even upped it with the scripted Parrish this time around, this upcoming year. So very, very thankful for elite jerseys from the school and Farmers Branch.
Bradley Hanna.
I'll go with a little bit of a sleeper pick, the Liberty Christian Warriors. I love the baby blue. It looks clean. We saw the whites for the state championship game with the navy helmet. It's nice. I think Liberty Christian's a solid pick.
I did forget they had baby blue. That is a very good pick. I'll give you that.
Yep.
Waverly.
Okay. Are we allowed to do SPC? Is that
Yes,
allowed?
absolutely. I don't like that you
Okay.
said that.
I'm going with the Kincaid purple jerseys. I think those look so good. Not many teams have purple, so I think it's just like a unique color, but I really like those.
I
Forgot about
definitely had
SKC.
those on my list, and they were gone, but they weren't my top pick remaining. Ryan Schroeder.
We are doing school though, right? Because I know Walker picked Parrish total. So just what
Yeah.
stay at the schools, right? Okay.
Total school.
Just making sure. I really, really, really I have back to back. So I'm gonna go. I really like Legacies. I think Legacies are really cool. I think they perfected the script first for everyone else that didn't try the
They
script.
did. This is true.
So I will go to that. I'm very Homer pick, but I think it does work well. We've had some jerseys better than others. We had some really bad jerseys when I was in high school, but we've done better since. And then on the loop around, give me Nolan Catholic. I love just the different navies and like the horn on the helmet is so cool. It's unique. Like I think Nolan Catholic's is tough. And it's Adidas, and their Adidas jerseys look so sick.
So I
The Adidas
okay.
jerseys go hard.
The problem with that is they got rid of those this year. The horn is gone and they
Oh,
moved
you're
to
right.
like Russell, I think, Russell Athletic.
Okay,
And their
I'm gonna.
jerseys look like Hallettsville Sacred Hearts with the two
Okay, I'm gonna.
stripes on the side.
I'm gonna pivot. I'm gonna pivot because I for you're exactly right, and I see
I,
them right
you can
now.
have them as your choice. You can absolutely, like West did his old, but
I
I'm
just
just.
don't. Yeah, I'm gonna
Yeah,
pivot.
though no, I like I said, they don't have to be this year's jerseys. They can be past jerseys
Oh,
like Grace. Remember,
okay.
Grace is now Under Armour and they're disgusting, but I said I wouldn't talk about them
You're right. You're
anymore.
right. You're right. Okay, I'll take the past Nolan Catholic. I think those are really cool. I think they're really cool. And I actually do love the other logo too. I love the full logo as well. So either way, I love it.
Righty, Waverly, back to you.
Second pick to kind of copy Bradley, but not really. Also baby blue, Cypress Christian. I love how those look. Just the light blue and the white, really simple, really clean. I think they have really good color scheme and just the light blue specifically.
There we go.
I don't get the hype about the Cypress unis, so I'm not gonna lie. I don't see the vision. I truly don't. Because at
You
the
sound like
retreat,
Ryan Schroeder.
yeah, no, I at the
I don't
retreat,
know what
people
you're
answered that and I was like, I feel like they could do so much better. That's my personal opinion, but I don't see the hype, but everyone else does, so maybe I'm missing something.
Maybe you are. Bradley Hanna, are you missing anything? What is your next pick?
Well, you see, I think I'm going to keep it with the Homer pick. We had Wes picking Grace and Ryan picking Legacy. But the Fort Bend Christian Academy, those black on black jerseys are clean. I'll say that the black helmet also to go along with it, we're actually getting rid of those for next season. So that's very upsetting. But before these have got to be like elite jerseys. I have to pick my own school, but I like it.
The funny thing is, I just had to delete Fort Bend off my list because they were also on there. The All Blacks are clean, and the uniforms you'll have coming up also are very clean. I will say that. Walker Lot, what we got?
I wasn't gonna do it, but since she just did one of the jerseys, I'm gonna do the Kincaid all black jump Jordan jerseys.
I just
No.
nope. One
I
school. It's
ju
got to
I just
be.
asked the school. Yeah, we can't do
Yeah,
that. She only
if you take a
chose
school,
she chose the purple
I know,
jerseys.
but
You
like,
chose three Parrish jerseys.
I
You've
said
gotta
that she needed to
if you
create.
take a school, the school's off the board. I
Fine, fine,
apologize. I don't make
fine,
the rules,
fine,
but
fine.
I think I just did.
Way to upheld though. Way to uphold. There you go.
You gotta respect the rules, I guess. I apologize. I'll choose the Regents, the gold, the navy and gold. I think the old navy with the gold. Not many schools do gold, and I think they do it to perfection. The jerseys they've released this year were beautiful. Shout out Jagger Lowe with the video for the jersey reveal. Great, great job with those.
Definitely so. The fact that we got two baby blue jerseys before this really worried me, and I can't believe y'all didn't pick the best baby blues, which is obviously Trinity Valley. Trinity Valley's baby blues are better than Cypress Christian. Oh, crazy, crazy,
I'm
crazy,
look
crazy.
I'm looking at them right now. I actually was about to write them down. I really don't like the blue outline over the baby blue. I think it
See,
looks really bad,
I don't
honestly.
know. I like them. I like them. I like their whites. And that's, again, me liking a baby blue uniform is telling because I'm a big Duke fan. I hate North Carolina. I despise those uniforms. I do like Trinity Valleys. I think they're the best ones.
Oof.
I think they're
Yeah.
old. I grew up playing Trinity Valley. I think some of the old TVS jerseys are way better than these baby blue jerseys, in my
Okay,
personal
that's the ones that I meant then. I meant the old ones that I've never even seen before that Walker just said. We're gonna ride with that.
They were on
Following
my list,
that,
though.
I am going to go with, if I was smart, I would have just said this. We're gonna go with it. I'm gonna go with Brook Hills all orange uniforms. I don't care. I think they're unique. I understand the stained face because all orange isn't always necessarily the most acceptable color palette.
It's cool.
However, I think they're cool. I think they're unique. There's no other orange school in Taps. Might as well rock with it.
Wrong, by the way. Just
Oh, don't
there
say
is
that.
several
No.
other orange schools. There's not a whole lot of other orange schools.
Oh,
There's
no, don't pick that. That's my next pick. That's my next pick. That's my next pick. That's my next pick.
I kind of see the vision, but I kind of don't at the same time. Going to mine. Let me look. I have one that I just it could, I won't do it. I won't do it. I'll do the Antonian jerseys this year. The baby
Dude.
blue, the all red. I think they've added the chrome red helmet, which is icy. I saw they're all red against Legacy this past year. That was awesome. I think they've always upped the ante, and their jerseys and their colors are elite. So I'll go Antonian.
That's so funny you said that. I was looking at it right as you said it, and they look
Those
sick.
baby blues aren't as good as Trinity Valley's. They're
I'm
just
not,
not.
no, but they're all reds and they're white
Yes,
ones this
yeah,
year.
I would agree with that.
The blue accents and the red accents on white look really good.
Yeah, 100%. 100%.
It's a really good color mix. I'll agree with that.
Yep. All right, Bradley.
Okay. So I was just looking through a couple, and as much as it pains me to say, the all yellows from Woodlands do not look too bad, actually.
So
Oof.
I agree. And I had this argument with Wes about this actually like a couple weeks ago, was talking about those Woodlands. They're on my list and I was close to picking them because I think they're amazing. I think they can be so much better with a green helmet. I
Okay.
think that's what ups the ante with them to be a top jersey, but I think the mustard yellows are a elite jersey in TXPS.
I agree with that take. Okay, you know how
They're
I said.
unique. It's just mustard.
Okay, you know how I said earlier, Legacy had some bad jerseys while I was in high school? We had all yellow jerseys that looked a little bit better than these. These look, these are, these are pretty bad, dude. Gosh.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh.
All
All
righty,
right.
Waverly, what do we got?
Sorry.
Okay, mine's kind of random, but I guess if we're going schools overall, Holy Cross, but have y'all seen their 7-on-7 uniforms?
This,
I looked for that at the retreat and I had to go and look for it. So cool looking.
This is true.
I so good.
So you have never
Fair.
seen this, but I'll help your case. They have a green jersey, like a lime
Yes, they
green
do.
jersey that
So, so
they
good.
wear here and there. They wore it last year
Which
versus
doesn't
Tony
make any
Lewis.
sense, by the
No,
way.
it doesn't, but it's cool.
It's an
So
alternate.
yes, it's an alternate jersey that's lime green and it's awesome. So that adds to your case. Holy Cross is definitely up there for sure.
Jacob Bermudez actually sat me down when we were at State and he made me look at the Holy Cross 7-on-7 jerseys.
And he knows ball, what can
That's
I
on
say?
brand. On brand.
He knows ball.
All
Know ball. All right, Ryan.
right. So I told you I was gonna stay with this one. Man, they're really good. I low-key have some other bangers though instead of this one. I'll take it because I said I was going to. St. Pius. I obviously I'm a huge fan of orange and black. I went to school at an orange and black school. I have a lot of orange and black in my closet, obviously, and I think orange and black looks really good. St. Pius over the years has gotten better on their jerseys. Some have been better than others, but with a little more money to the school and I think a little more money into the like jerseys and stuff, things have looked better than in the past. So St. Pius is one of mine for sure. And then my other one on the way back.
That final one.
My final one. I have four names here, okay? Man. Okay. Oh, dude. Okay. All right. I'll go with this one because I think someone else will probably take it. So I kind of want it. I said it in person when I saw them on Friday. I thought they looked sick. I think they still look sick. First Baptist uniforms are incredible. I think the white is just beautiful. The blacks are beautiful. The helmet itself is gorgeous. I love the unique, I mean, a bunch of teams do this, but the unique stickers on the helmet to make the red pop out on the white. First Baptist is 1,000% on there for me. And they wore the blacks with the white helmet at state with the red, bro. I mean, I probably should have taken that sooner, man. That truly is up there for me. And then obviously LeVorn had the vest on, the rest of his guys, they had the shoes they're talking about, bro.
And
That's
Glacey.
up there for me. Iglesias? Yeah, sorry. That's a little much. He said I
Gotta
know ball, so I just got.
we gotta stop that. We have to stop that.
Okay,
Waverly.
okay, okay. Sue me, dude. All right. Gosh.
Waverly, your final pick for the Mount Rushmore.
Okay, most of y'all did y'all's Homer picks, so I'll do BCS. But specifically this year, we got red jerseys. Walker got to see him at homecoming, I think. Those looked so good. We're kind of bring red back into the color scheme. So really like BCS's red.
I can't argue with that.
They're a top 10 jersey in TXPS. I'd argue with the wall. I was gonna pick BCS. I think their jerseys with the Eagle script, I think they're clean. Personally, I love them. So
So
I just
you.
realized Brazos Christian fan page used my picture for his final score. That's very nice. I was trying to go find the jerseys. I would like my credit beyond. I'm just kidding. Bradley Hanna, your final pick for the jersey.
Yeah, so Ryan and Waverly stole my picks. Actually, I was going to go with First Baptist, and then I switched up to Brazos. So, I had to rush something, but I think I got a good one. I got to rock with the D3 state champions, Dallas Christian, the all black and the blue highlights. It's pretty clean.
Yeah,
The
I
lightning
agree with
bolt
that.
on the
They're
side.
classics.
They're classics.
They're
Very, yeah.
classic
It's
classics.
kind of like Notre
Classics.
Dame in college football. It's just like
Yeah.
it's not as flashy as Notre Dame could be, but it's like just a classic staple
Yeah.
uniform.
Doesn't get
Now
old.
your name's not Ryan Schroeder. Your name's Walker Lott. Walker, final pick for the Mount Rushmore.
Ooh wee. Man, I have a lot of choices. I have a lot of choices. I will go. I'm going to do something this year, but I'm going to specifically talk about the helmet. The Second Baptist all gold helmet they introduced this year was sensational. And adding that to more of a gold addition to the all navy jerseys and the all white jerseys really makes it a top look in TXPS this year. I just think those are unbelievably cool. They look sick. I'll go the Eagles.
Definitely so. Ryan, are you raising your hand or
I
was
didn't
that
mean
just a
to. I didn't mean
okay.
to.
So yeah, the Zoom is running wild. That shifted all of the
Yep.
faces now. So I'm discombobulated. Anyways, my final pick for the Mount Rushmore, it's gonna be All Saints' Jordan brand jerseys. I think just
Oh,
seeing a Jordan, like the
brutal.
ones they wore at
Yeah.
State, the Navy ones, again,
Yep.
very
Yeah.
simple, but just you don't see Jordan brand a lot in terms of jerseys. I think they're really, really good. If you can tell a trend here, I picked TVS and All Saints. I somehow got to Parkhurst's Instagram trying to find jerseys, and I was like, oh, I like both of these. So we went through with both of them. But that is going to be the Mount Rushmore for jerseys.
I have a couple honorable mentions. Can I list them off?
You can certainly do that.
I like the TMI Episcopal all orange helmet with the all blacks. I think that's actually the best orange jersey in TXPS. The all black with the Hyde Park helmet. The Hyde Park that the all black is sick. The all black St. John's with all black with the white helmet or red helmet, white helmet. It's nice. St. Mark's. I actually was gonna pick them. I think the navy and the yellow is low key really, really cool. I think those are sick. The Central Catholic all navy with the white helmets. Those are sick. Those were kind of all of them. Other ones, all white St. Thomas with the eagle feather on the eagle wing. And then I'll end with SES's all black with the white helmets. Not the new. So I'm gonna go on a 1 minute rant. SES has started adding green back into the program scheme, but they've done it without adding green jerseys into our logo. or into our uniforms. So it's like asterisks of green that don't fit the rest of the jerseys in the past. And it just looks awful right now. They have like one green jersey from like Stetson or something, a weird brand. It's a lot of turmoil at SCS right now. I like the green addition from my childhood, but it needs to be done better. Those are my thoughts.
Well, there we go. Barring the final rant from SCS, some very nice jerseys. I think that's going to be what, 5 times 4 is 20, if my math is correct. So some a nice collection of 20 jerseys that we can kind of establish as the best in the state. But that being said, it is now time to do what we actually came here to do, and that is recap the 4 state championship games that we witnessed over the past weekend, starting in the order that we witnessed them with Division Four, Brazos Christian versus Dallas First Baptist. I mentioned off top that this kind of feels like a cruel punishment to make Waverly detail the games as Waverly did go to Brazos Christian. First Baptist beat Brazos Christian. Waverly's a trooper. She said that she would go ahead and detail it anyway. So Waverly, as the D4 expert on the program, what'd you see in the biggest game on the biggest stage?
I mean, yeah, going into it, y'all nailed it. Y'all said First Baptist is going to win if they can get their playmakers to make big plays. And that's exactly what happened. Mark Grayson had an insane game. And then, of course, Caleb Mitchell and Bradley Mays each also contributed. One thing that I thought was interesting was I wasn't really sure how First Baptist's dual more than one QB approach would go, but I mean they excelled in that. It didn't only work, it worked to their advantage very well. First Baptist's defense held Brazos Christian to their season low in rushing yards. Brazos Christian only had 37 rushing yards, and for most of the season they were a team that relied a lot on their rushing offense. So that was definitely a factor in the game. And just like y'all said, First Baptist's just skill, quickness, and athleticism proved to be just too much for Brazos Christian in the end. But I am very proud of my Eagles and how we played. But all the credit to Coach LeVorn and the First Baptist Saints. They played a very good game.
Yeah, absolutely. At the end of the day, I think the two most deserving teams made it to that spot, which was nice to watch. Like you said, Mark Grayson scored 3 of the first 5 touchdowns for First Baptist. I mean, it's going to be hard not to give that man defensive four or Division Four, excuse me, MVP just for what he does on both the offensive and defensive side of the ball. But First Baptist was, I mean, they were just bigger, faster, stronger. That's really what the game came down to. I will say Brazos Christian did not lose this game at all because of lack of effort, et cetera. First Baptist had 5 Division I athletes on a football team. That's really what it came down to. My kind of thoughts moving away from the game are that Brazos Christian's going to be a perennial state contender as long as they keep Coach Wash around. I think that program's going in the right direction, especially with guys like Cooper Murr, Micah Saxe, Jack Williams, and Reed Jackson returning. It's a good program, but obviously there's another good program in Dallas and First Baptist with Jason LeBourne and guys like that. Both of these teams, you'd probably be do yourself well to be familiar with them because you're going to see them pop up a lot around the state conversation. Walk a lot.
No, I think you're kind of that point. Like I said, big time players make big time plays, and that's kind of this game. I like I said, I think Brazos Christian did a really good job in the second half, and I think they were the only team to score in the third or something along those lines. Like it was an impressive second half. It's just the guys like Mark Grayson, they just show up early and they dominated. And I think it's interesting. I think Brazos Christian, remember, this is year three of Coach Washington. These are the seniors that he kind of grew up with. And that senior class has been nothing but short of impactful for this team. The legacy they'll leave and the dominance that they will continue to show because of the senior class is going to be a storyline for sure. And I hope that they get talked about for a long time. I think this is interesting. The scene, I think Brazos Christian, you can tell me, Waverly, I feel like y'all are growing as a school. More people are coming in. It's slowly and slowly growing. I think that's what's going to be interesting is how can they, if they stay in D4 for the next 4 years, how can they compete? Because I think Brazos Christian has the guys. I think Cooper Murr is the best quarterback in Division Four, and he's a sophomore. So if you grow around him, you get pieces around him, guys from maybe like Consol, or you go to CHHS and guys can maybe transfer over, it could be a recipe for success for Brazos Christian. But the question is First Baptist. They lose Bradley Mays, Caleb Mitchell, Mark Grayson, Quincy Reams. They have Jordan Anastasis. They have Corey Thomas coming back, Dylan Jones, but some of their superstar athletes are gone. Knowing that team though, they're gonna have some young guys on the come up. But there's a lot of storylines about both teams because I think both teams can be the top teams in Division Four again next year. It's just see who steps up to the plate.
Yeah, definitely so. Ryan Schroeder, if I pivot to you, are you going to say anything about Coach LeVorn saying you know ball, et cetera, since we've beat that horse half to death already?
Why are we saying that? I can't say anything about that.
Well,
He literally has an avocation out for me. I mean, that is insanity. No, I'm just kidding.
is that a word?
Overall, I really enjoyed seeing First Baptist play. I mean, obviously, West went out to a game earlier this year, really early in the year, and I kind of like fell in love with the program a little bit with how things are run there and how they've been playing. It's just the overall like attitude, I guess, at First Baptist, which was like, we're gonna do well and we're gonna look good doing it and we're gonna have the moxie and we're gonna whatever. Like, I really like that a lot, and I think it just comes from a whole school perspective. I like what Coach LeVorn had to say in his interview to US as well. Really kind of brought it all back together as well from more spiritual sense. But overall, in the grand scheme of things, I think they're a really well-run team, and I think guys like Quincy Reams and Mark Grayson, especially Mark Grayson, just probably one of the best athletes we saw all weekend long. But yeah, just it was a great showing, and yeah, First Baptist really just really proved that like they are D4, and there was no messing with them in D4.
Yeah, definitely so. Wire to wire favorites, as a couple other teams in these spots were. Bradley, Hannah, any quick thoughts on Brazos Christian First Baptist before we move on?
Oh, I mean, we kind of already summed it up, but First Baptist really just dominated on all sides of the ball. We saw Quincy Reams, he had a great game, almost 200 all-purpose yards, and he had an interception. I got to talk to him after the game. It was his first ever interception, actually. So he said he had a great time, just playing the game, and he's excited for the next level also.
Yeah, absolutely. You'll notice I hesitated for a second there going to Bradley between his first and his last name. So I almost called him Bradley Mays because we've got First Baptist players on the brain. But that being said, we will now move on to the Division III title game, which is Dallas Christian versus Holy Cross. And I'm going to be completely transparent here. I have never rooted harder for a team than Holy Cross in this matchup. I know we're an unbiased program. You got to see where I'm coming from, though. DC's won three straight. I mean, I've got ties to DC. I have a lot of family went to
Jesus.
DC. I have a family member that still kind of coaches at DC. It's just that Holy Cross has been the best story of all time to make it back after coming so close last year, to be wire to wire favorites, to go and be the team of destiny, to beat two Division I teams, and to fall 21-18 as the dynasty rolls along. Just completely not caring what's in its path. It's the way football is. Sometimes you wish for these incredible stories, and sometimes you get another one, which is going to be Luke Kearney starting and winning four straight state championships, starting every game from his freshman season to now. Is a fantastic story. He had 291 yards, two touchdowns, and a defensive interception, as well as several huge pass breakups. He's been playing with a torn ligament in his hand since the Prestonwood game in September. From what I can gather, a couple of doctors were like, "You cannot play on that." Luke was like, "No, I'm going to play on it," and decided to go out and win another state championship. Titus Muse was also the workhorse here. 20 carries, 120 yards. He didn't have a rush longer than 20 yards, which just means it was 5, 6, 7 yard rushes over and over and over again, just turning them out and just being the playmaker they brought him in to be. Jackson Barr had 10 tackles and I think 4 tackles for loss. Dude's got zero sleeves, zero swag, only pain. He is one of my favorite players to watch just because he comes in to play football. There's nothing flashy about him. He just goes and just hits people really hard. Radford and Kearney and Muse all come up with interceptions, with Caleb Radford going mega viral off the clip that Waverly got, which has now been featured on House of Highlights, SportsCenter, etc. So Waverly, congratulations. Piece of media you filmed is now bigger than anything Ryan Walker and I have done in the previous 4 years. Congratulations to that. I've also got to give flowers back to Jackson Barr because I don't know if anyone else is going to talk about this. On the game-sealing interception, Barr comes off that left edge and he forces Gibby to hurry and get the ball off, make him throw it into coverage and end up throwing that pick. That was due in large part to Barr's ability to get off the edge, get in his face. And I think that was, well, I don't think it was what ended the game for Dallas Christian. DC didn't score in the last 14 and a half minutes of this game. Holy Cross had 12 minutes to score 3 points, including three consecutive potential game-winning drives. And ultimately, the tough defense DC's built upon ultimately stood their ground and they bested Father Time. So DC wins this game 21-18. Walker, I'm going to turn to you first.
Yeah.
It was Dynasty versus Destiny, and Destiny wins.
Yeah, that's kind of what I kept texting on in our live tweeting was is it, we're gonna find out if it's Destiny, and multiple times it just showed that it wasn't. And it yeah, like being real, like yeah, absolutely was rooting for Holy Cross. Being around that program, being around that community, it's nothing short of just amazing. It was gonna be the first San Antonio school to win a title, regardless of TXPS, UIL, anything in a very long time. It needed a, San Antonio needed a school to win a title, and that was supposed to be them, and it just wasn't. It's crazy. It's been awesome covering that senior class. I still remember when we were first starting out, and Gabby Alvarado was on our DMs as an eighth grader talking about how he was going to be the guy at Holy Cross next year. And that he was one of the greatest to ever do at a Holy Cross, and that whole senior class of Patrick Ortiz, Jose Lerma, Nick Hall, Samuel Valenzuela, all those dudes, man. It's been awesome watching them, covering them. I think that team, the build that community, because that senior class led them to two straight titles that they've never been to a ch state championship before. Like what that team did and that senior class did is nothing short of just amazing for that community. And I hope they get talked about for a very long time around the community because they absolutely deserve it. That senior class is special, and I hope they remember it as special because they deserve to be re recognized like that. Looking forward, because I'll let them talk about the game itself. Looking forward, it gets interesting because you have Rocky Okoso coming in. The freshman this year is going to be probably the starter next year. He'll be the starter, but you lose basically, man, every single big time athlete there at Holy Cross. Weapons on the def I think they lose at least three offensive linemen. They lose their two edge defensive linemen. I think they lose their linebacker, two DBs, weapons at the receiver position. I think the only guys who are coming back is like two running backs. That the thing about it is though, because it's Holy Cross and they'll rebuild and they're always a good squad, and how bad the South is in Division Three, you could see them there next year. But I think it's way harder than it is in the past couple of years because I think Covenant Christian is growing up, I think, a little bit. I think teams like Lubbock Christian will fight them a little bit harder. Those teams are going to come into the battle. Same with Dallas Christian. Dallas Christian is going to lose Luke Kearney. You're going to lose Titus Muse. And the question Wes and I we've been thinking about for the last couple of years is, okay, once Kearney leaves, are the transfers going to come in as well? Because you have the prize pony and quarterback that people want to play with. But when he goes, is the transferring of Dallas Christian going to be as the same as usual?
Everyone coming close. I'm going to let you in on a little secret. This was going on before Cardi got there. DC will continue to get guys in there. Just maybe not at the same clip, but as
Right.
somebody that played in that era, guys will still magically find their way to Dallas Christian.
That's 100% true. 1,000,000% true. I just wonder if it's enough pieces to compete. But as you kind of saw, even in a down year of pieces coming in, they still won it. They were still good enough to win it. So if you bring in five guys that are good athletes, you might win a chip in D3. The other teams just don't have enough pieces to compete. So that's going to be the question. If I had to put money down for next year without knowing anything about any team, DC's still the favorite. Holy Cross is nowhere near the favorite next year. I'm not going to lie. So I think this was the year for Holy Cross. I don't expect them to be maybe favorites for a very long time. And that's kind of my overall thoughts of the game. I'll let the other people talk about the actual game.
Yeah, absolutely. Ryan Schroeder, Dynasty prevails. Your thoughts?
Dynasty prevails against my will. No, I what's it called? I was a massive Holy Cross fan. That was I sent this to my parents. I sent this to my brother. I sent it to all like everyone I basically would talk to about TXPS. I said that was one of the best environments for a sport I've been to. A high school football game was probably close to number one. There's not a lot of other moments in my life where I feel like I've been into an environment like that. Not to go on a tangent about this because we don't need to. But Holy Cross was the only school, and but with weather, obviously, just keep that in mind. But Holy Cross is the only school to really like show out for their state championship game. And like, I think the whole argument that was made this past summer about moving it to a bigger venue, Taps has always said they don't want to move it to a bigger venue. And I think we kind of understand why time and time again. Weather on Saturday is obviously just not going to help the case either way because you don't really know who would have showed up. But Holy Cross, if anybody is advocating for why there should be, you know, more a bigger stadium, whatever. They just showed out. I thought that was cool. Overall, great atmosphere. But yeah, Dallas Christian, Luke Kearney might have been the best athlete from the entire weekend, and hence why he won offensive and defensive MVP. He was quite literally, he was the savior for this team in the last two games. Truly, truly savior. And Dallas Christian will never have another guy like him. So that's pretty unique.
Yeah, that was funny. The last thing I'll say before I pass it on is that we had heard rumblings towards like the toward in September. I was being told like our sec he, they were like, I think our secondary might be weak. There's a good chance that Luke in games that matter in the playoffs will go and play in the back end. And I was like, I hear this a lot from like quarterbacks. We'll see if it materializes here. Sure enough, whole game for Lovett Christian, whole game state championship. We forget how close DC was to not even being in this game. They won by 7 to Lovett Christian. Lovett Christian almost won on a Hail Mary. That being said, it's interesting how things turn out that way. Waverly, this was an interesting game from the mariachi showing up at the beginning to the final drive at the very end. Your thoughts on the D3 state title?
Yes, I mean, y'all definitely said it. The mariachi band showing up was such a fun and unexpected surprise. What an environment. Holy Cross brought so many fans, which just really shows, like y'all said, that tightly knit community, just all of San Antonio really behind them. Holy Cross obviously coming up short, and Luke Kearney just played his heart out. I don't even know what else to say other than that, but I think one really interesting thing was just how much DC really believed, even though we had been talking all season. Most people pretty much thought that Holy Cross would be the favorite. They said, "We knew this whole time. Like, what were y'all saying?" And like, even with all the transfers, even with everything, they figured out how to really just work together and just get the puzzle pieces to fit right, and ended up coming out on top for fourth year in a row, as insane as that is. Luke Kearney, a big piece of that. Mike Wheeler, y'all kind of talked about for BCS. They might be a state title contender as long as Coach Washington stays. DC will be a title contender as long as Mike Wheeler is the head coach at DC. And I think that's what I can end on because we all know that that is a very true fact.
I think there's a non-zero chance that Mike Wheeler was immortal. He's been around as long as I can remember from middle school, and now I'm what, 5 years removed from high school football, about six probably. And he's not slowing down. I don't think he abides by the rules of time. It's crazy. But no, what you say is absolutely correct. As long as he's there, I think they're a title contender. Bradley Hanna, closing thoughts on Dallas Christian beating Holy Cross.
I mean, yeah, I feel like it, this game, it was way better than I expected. We kind of all were saying, oh, Holy Cross is going to blow them out, especially when the mariachi came. We're just like, oh, the environment here, it was insane. Holy Cross brought so many fans. The Dallas Christian fans were trickling in, but we were expecting a blowout. And then Holy Cross and Luke Kearney proved us wrong. I never seen a QB play both sides of the ball. Well, I'd seen a QB play both sides of the ball, but not DB. That really surprised me. And Kearney, he had an interception, and really he had the game-sealing pass breakup, which was great for him. He, of course, we had to give him offensive and defensive player of the game, as he just was a staple for the offensive and defensive side of the ball.
Yeah, definitely so. I will not lie, after the Mariachi came out, and then after I think Holy Cross forced a three and out to start the game, I looked at several members of the team and said, this game is over. Clearly it wasn't. And DC goes on to win their fourth consecutive state title. Let us move on to a game that Bradley will intro for us for the first time on the program, the Division II state title. Sadly, not featuring Fort Bend Christian, but featuring All Saints and Second Baptist. Bradley, what'd you see? How'd it turn out?
Yeah, so this game, we were all on the field for this one. I was on the field for the first half, and that might have been one of my worst decisions ever. As this game, it was pouring rain, it was freezing cold. The weather definitely made an impact on how this game turned out, I would say. As Second Baptist, they weren't able to get anything done through the air. Cannon Toon, we know he's a great player. He only had five completions this game. The All Saints defense was really flying across the field. They had four turnovers. Dalton Knapp had three sacks. One of those was back to back to force a big third down. It was really a very defensive game. Second Baptist scored on the opening drive. They kicked a field goal, but after that, it was really over. And really, the final piece to it was the Gavin Parker's slide into the end zone. That kind of did it, and it was a nice cherry to the cake. But it, yeah, All Saints really just controlled the ball on defense and offense all game.
Absolutely. I didn't know they put cherries on cake. That sounds like it'd be a good cake. But
You never done
no,
that?
in all seriousness, that is perfectly put. It took a lot of my notes. It's that All Saints' defense just smothered Second Baptist. I mean, junior Keon Adkins had four tackles for loss. As you mentioned, K-State commit Dalton Knapp had three, Maynard had two. And you can say that the rain played a factor, and I'm sure that it did, but the fact of the matter is All Saints held second under their scoring average by a factor of 10. They averaged 30. They scored three. That's not just rain. And also, my final point is that Gavin Parker just wins football games, man. He's a gamer in every sense of the word. He has been since he outdueled McKeever, as Walker said, in 2022.
I'll hold
And
it.
he's still doing it. Run, pass, truck, juke, a proven commodity is walking into San Marcos this coming fall. All Saints is the only undefeated state champion this year, and they are the third in the last two, joining Liberty Christian and Dallas Christian. There's some fun trivia for you. Walker Lott, it was the Saints at the beginning of the year, and the Saints go marching in and win. Who came up with that caption, by the way? That was really good. Very,
Thank
very
you.
good caption.
Thank you.
Thoughts on the Saints marching in?
Dude, we talked a lot about like Kincaid's defense this year. We talked about a lot of others, Liberties and others. All Saints has a actual shout to be the best defense in TXPS this year. It was unbelievable watching them against Regents and watching them against Second Baptist and just how they smothered teams. Their front seven might be one of the best I've seen in a very long time, as especially since probably that D2 or the 22 Parrish team. When you have K-State, when you have I forget the sophomore on the other side, number 88, you have Jacob Maynor in the back, and then you have TCU commit Blake Robinette, who might be one of the most underrated, and he's going to TCU, most underrated guys in TXPS this year. They're just monsters. They're pure monsters. Kingston Byer as well. Like, it's just unbelievable. And you saw this offensive line too. I'll give Second Baptist credit. They held a really good offense, All Saints offense, to only 21 points, but it wasn't enough. Like, their offense was just absolutely stopped. And Cannon Toon couldn't get anything going. Langston Davis was solid here and there, but just not enough to really get going. Overall, a crazy game, a crazy atmosphere, very chippy. The rain did not help that. It was a chippy, chippy game. Yeah, it was an interesting one. And as I always do, I'll look forward a little bit. All Saints is still probably the top favorite for next year. I think they have the pieces. I think Jackson Knapp will be the guy next season, unless they bring someone in, which I don't think they should, to be honest. I think he's
No.
good enough. You have Hudson Reese, your star wide receiver one next year. You have Bourque Toler coming back. The offensive line without Ian Bothwell and Hudson Dalton, I think, are young, so you'll have pieces return. You have other guys on the defensive side. I know number 14, that's the 6'4 safeties. He's a sophomore. Like, they got dudes, man. They're absolutely the favorite. And knowing All Saints, There's gonna be pieces coming in next year. There just will be. So, I'm not surprised if they're the absolute favorites next year and one of the best teams in TXPS. On the flip side, I think it's gonna be an interesting team for Second Baptist next year. I think with Fort Bend being interesting as well. I think with TWCA looking interesting as well. I think it's gonna be a battle to who can make it out of the South next season, especially with Regents that's coming up from the North. I think Canatoon is still, with Santiago Fernandez, the top 1A, 1B type of quarterback in the South. I think they have the guy. You lose Bryce Butler, who is massive. We didn't talk about Bryce Butler enough. That in that game alone against All Saints, he did everything he could to keep them in that game. He was unbelievable. Interception, multiple TFLs, tackles at the line of scrimmage. He was one of the top linebackers in TXPS, showed why that game. So you lose him, you lose RJ Lee, you lose Cash Harris, you lose Alan Thomas is a junior, I think. So, like, you have pieces and you're going to fight for a district title next year. They always do. And you'll have a couple guys probably here and there, but it's not going to be a for sure. We're going to state next year in Second Baptist.
I would have to agree with that. Ryan Schroeder, All Saints, best Second Baptist to win the state title. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, I think I was pretty spot on when I said that All Saints was truly, was probably a lot better than the other competition around, at that level, whether that be Second Baptist or Regents. They truly proved that too. I mean, they played at a high level. They ran through Regents and Second Baptist. And I think I'm pretty happy to say that this All Saints team was incredible. Gavin Parker is like he tried to tell us after the game. What quarterbacks have done or what guys have done have won at SBC, then gone the next year and won at Taps. That's probably not really been done before. And also All Saints, doing it for All Saints too, who has never won a state championship in Taps, according to what we know. That's also super impressive. There's a lot of things to take away from this game. All Saints obviously has another legacy coach there as well. What Coach Beck has done with that program and stuff over the years has been absolutely incredible. In the same vein as the way that Coach Wheeler has done at DC, what Novikov has done at Parrish, those are legacy coaches. Those are coaches who have transformed programs over time. There's a lot of things to say about that, but overall, the teams look incredible. The one thing I will say about Second Baptist, which give them their flowers, they locked up Kamonte Williams. Locked up Kamonte. They didn't throw his way, basically.
Ethan Dishman, man, dog.
Dude, bro, they put two over there the entire game. Obviously, that left for more. They left for more space on the field, obviously, because they're putting two on Kamonte every single time. But, dude, pretty impressive to say the least that they were able to lock him down. Problem is, Second Baptist or All Saints has players all over the field. Didn't really matter if you locked up Kamonte; they're gonna beat you somewhere else.
That's the thing. Like, Second Baptist played a good game in on defense. They did 21 points. If you came into this game and you said All Saints will only score 21 points in this one, I would have called you crazy. The
Same.
crazier thing though was that Second Baptist only scored three. That's the even crazier thing.
Right.
Waverly.
Yeah, I'd have to agree with that. It is funny, I will say quickly, to speak to Coach Beck's prowess. I started off our interview by being like, Coach Beck, you've won five championships. Or I was like, I think you've won five championships in your career. And he looked at me and went seven. I was like, we're gonna run that back. We're gonna do seven. But yeah, just an incredible coach and program in Fort Worth. Waverly, what did you get out of this just absolutely terrible game to cover because of the weather, not the play on the field?
Yeah, standing in the rain was not the best part of that weekend, but definitely a great game. Y'all said it all Saints defeating multiple Division One teams. So, of course, they were the favorite to win Division Two. Just wanted to shout out something that Dalton Knapp said whenever I interviewed him post game. He said, last year, after losing in the semis, which I believe they lost to Liberty Christian. Very understandable in the team that they are, but we'll get to that later. He said, last year, after losing to them in the semis, my class, the seniors this year, vowed that we would never lose another game, and we didn't. And I just think that was so impressive with the schedule that they had. I mean, you look at that schedule at the beginning of the season, even with the roster that they do have, you say, okay, they play Parrish, they play Prestonwood. Like, those are two legit teams. Like, the odds that they go undefeated, Probably not great. Like they have some guys, but I mean, they did it. Undefeated state champs. I just think that's so impressive. Gavin Parkhurst can do it all, no matter what he's doing. If I have my stats right, he's the Division One passing yards, I mean, Division Two passing yards leader. And then also up there in rushing yards. What a season for All Saints. Coach Beck, obviously a great coach, and they won it all.
Yeah, no, absolutely. A fantastic program in Fort Worth. Seems like it's only getting better and better as time moves on, as Fort Worth All Saints wins their first Division II Tap State title. Let us move on into the final contest that I regrettably had to miss. I'll restate that probably the one person on the planet that I would miss the game for got engaged, so I apologize. I couldn't be at this game, but we had plenty of other coverage going around. Walker Lott, I'm going to let somebody who's at the game discuss the game. Parrish, you know what? Just tell the people what happened.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, this was a game of two tie-ins, you know, the best of the best and what Texas high school football is all about, right? And to start this game, the first drive of Liberty Christian was the screen to Janusek where he made multiple people miss, ran down the sidelines, and they scored. And I think then Parrish got the stop, or Parrish got stopped. Then Liberty got stopped, and then Parrish back to back to back. I think this was the Bryson Fields miss tackle, runs down the sideline, and Cooper Witten body slams him into the side, which didn't hurt Bryson Fields, but kept Cooper Witten out of that entire game, which was a storyline to watch because of that
Really?
play. Yes, he was out the entire game because of that play. He's fine, but just he couldn't play and had the game win. He didn't really need to play, but it was kind of in that first half, back and forth. Liberty was kind of the favorite. Like they would score easier and Parrish would too, but it was more just easier for Liberty. And then in the second half, it was a one score game in Liberty's favor at the half. And you were like, okay, Parrish is known as the second half team. They'll make the adjustments and they'll go into this half and dominate the second one. 21 unanswered by Liberty Christian in that third quarter kind of set the tone for that game, and after that it was over. Couple interesting things. It was just, yes, third quarter was dominated by Liberty Christian. That was the ball game basically. Parrish couldn't come back in the fourth. The defense was there in a game I haven't seen both teams this year. I saw Liberty week one, but not the same. In a game that was both high-profile offenses, defenses came to play, and that was kind of impressive to me. It also got very chippy, and this is not just for this. I think as a whole, I think honestly the refs at Taps, and I hate doing this, I don't think they controlled the games well at Tap State. I don't think they let them kind of run free a little too much, and then penalties happen. And after the late plays, you gotta hone it in a little bit. And that was kind of what you saw in that game, where there were a couple plays. Sawyer Anderson got hit after the play, and there were no calls. And then it was kind of chippy back and forth, and you saw the crowd boo on both sides. And that's just when it's a recipe for disaster. And after kind of the first hit, second hit, you saw Sawyer on the sideline going like, my knee that's been bugging me all year, it's been bugging me more. And I think after that, it was kind of just a recipe for disaster. The defense, the DBs of Liberty Christian kind of locked this team up. And I'll see it on, you see it on their, on your script, so I'll let you say it yourself. But at the bottom, the receiving core just, they couldn't get anything going offensively for Liberty or for Parrish in the third quarter. And, that's the final game of seven. That's the final game of the Parrish dynasty. And I think as a phoenix does, it dies and out of the ashes arises a new one in the terms of Liberty Christian, where they have won back to back and they are looking like to be the favorites going into next year. Well,
Yeah, I don't know how they're not. It's just with the way that they're able to attract talent, and it's not just that they can develop it as well, but it seems like they're doing what Parrish did, except if Parrish did it at 9, they're doing it at 11. They're really, really turning the dial on that. And yeah, like you said, I think the biggest key to this game was, Bryson Fields got his, he's almost a 1,000-yard receiver, if not a 1,000-yard receiver on the season. He got about 100 yards in this game, but the two biggest receivers for Parrish were Pyle and Darby, and those are the game breakers. Well, they held Pyle to 4 catches for 55 and Darby for 2 for 39. Liberty secondary, they neutralized the playmakers, and that was the key to the game. My only other notes on this was that first screen touchdown by Janusek. That's just him being better than every other person on the field, point
Yeah.
blank, period. And there's a lot of guys going to play college ball on that field, whether it's that, whether it was the just insane one-handed catch, the picture that we got. I've never seen like he looked like Spider-Man. It wasn't like the OBJ catch, but he's like he was, dude, it was
Like
insane. It was.
Jason Witten himself, when I interviewed and I wanted him to talk about that senior class, right? And I talked about Brady Janusik, and he said there's not a better player on this field than number 10. And when you have a guy like that saying that, you know he's legit. And he even said in his interview that might not be his last football game, and that's going to be interesting to watch if OU comes a call in, which they should. If
They should.
anyone from OU is watching, you're in a rough spot right now. You call Brady Janusik. Anyways, I'll talk a l I want I'm gonna ramble for a little bit, but I want to talk about that senior class for Liberty Christian. We had a big argument in the press box after that game of like, when did Jason Witten start? But it was when Jason Witten started that 2-8 season. They lost 8 games. Jason Witten, he said, like, I don't think he's ever lost 8 games in his career. Like, what they did, and that Keithon Smith, the Brady Janusik of the world, that senior class bought into Jason Witten in that program. And then next year, they got an even better. Remember, they lost to All Saints in the semifinals in 22. And then they went 33-3 in the last 2 years. Just, or no, 27-1 the last 2 years. Just unbelievable. 37-3-3, 27-1-2. So just an incredible job by the senior class to buy into what they're doing, and you see the results. It's just unbelievable. It's truly special. Looking forward, I think it's gonna be interesting. Like you said, Wes, I think they're gonna be the favorites, but they're gonna lose a lot. They're gonna lose two starters, maybe three starters on the offensive line. They lose their entire receiving core. They lose their starting running back. They lose guys on the defensive side, Maddox Sakiri, Nick Blevins, Brady Janusik. They lose probably a couple linebackers. They lose a lot. Knowing Liberty, though, they'll bring them in. But I would wonder if a team from the team from Plano would be the favorites going into next year. You bring back Luke Glass, you bring back McLean, you bring back LJ Taylor, you bring back French Love, you bring back a good offensive line. I wonder if a team from Plano has anything to say about being the favorites going into next year. On Parrish's side, they have a lot of question marks. We talked about it a couple episodes ago. What is that team going to look like next year? You lose Darby, you lose Fields, you lose Sawyer Anderson. Your all offensive line is going to be back, I think, besides, I think, Ward. You lose Nick Wheeler, you lose DC Crane, you lose Sattler, you lose guys like that. You lose a lot. You lose the program defining guys in this program. What do you do? Like, what does Novikov do besides go, we got to overhaul it? Like, we got to bring in 20 guys like Liberty did a year ago. Like, that's what is kind of going to be have to be the standard. Or I don't think they compete next year. I don't think they're the capital to Liberty and Prestonwood next year. I just don't think they are. So, a lot of question marks about surrounding both teams and a team from Plano that looks like this, and they're really excited going into next year.
Yeah, I think at the end of the day, that boils down to that. Prestonwood is in probably the best spot they'll be in moving into a season to be able to go out and win a state title. And they will bring guys in as well. That arms race in the offseason to see where all the talent flows to in Division One will certainly be fun. Ryan Schroeder, another man that was on site live watching the game. The new dynasty takes over. Your thoughts on the Taps D1 state championship?
It was really good talking to everybody post game. Honestly, it was one of those feelings where you kind of saw something that you hadn't seen. You saw a different power in D1 that you hadn't seen, and I thought it was interesting because obviously Liberty won last year, but just to see like this emotion from Brady Janusik, a guy who obviously he's going off to play a different sport in college, and he clearly is like debating and stuff in his head whether he wants to do that for sure in the future. Like, and he's better than everyone else out there. Like, that's the whole other thing too. Like, there wasn't a player that played both sides or a player in general that was really up to par of what he's been able to do this year alone. We were talking about the blocked field goal, all the other plays he's made this year. Overall, Brady Janusik is one of the best players we've seen this entire season. And when I watched him 2 years ago, I watched him and I was like, man, that 2025 is really, really good. Well, that 2025 is done playing football. It's kind of an insane thing to think about. Same with all the rest of the guys, Sawyer and all of them with Gibby, the rest of the whole list and stuff. It's kind of cool to see all these guys. But the one comment I have to make. So, ironically, on the last episode, we talked about how Jordan Black, head coach of Fort Bend 2 years ago, had said the comment, "Hey, why don't we stay around and play Parrish tonight?" And the ironic part about that was is that's one of the best Parrish teams of all time. Obviously Fort Bend would have got ran that night, very much so. In the most non-ironic part ever, if All Saints, the one team All Saints didn't get to play in Taps this year, that would have been on that level of the rankings, the final rankings, it would have gone Liberty, and then a Kincaid somewhere up there, but All Saints also up there, and then the rest. So Kincaid slot wherever you want to slot in. But All Saints and Liberty, the two teams that didn't play each other. All Saints, if you don't remember, started out their year beating Paris, beating Prestonwood. They beat Second Baptist. They beat Regents. They have every win under the belt that they would need. Kind of ironic that that game never got to be played, but we'll really never know who's the best team in TXPS this year, especially in Taps, because All Saints Liberty, in theory, could have been closer than. All Saints versus Parish Liberty.
It's funny because some of the All Saints coaches were saying as they left the field after the D2 game was that they needed Parish to win so All Saints could be Taps champions of the world and just beat
That's true.
everyone.
That's
But
true.
sure, it's not how the things fell. But at the end of the day, All Saints is the only one that can say that they were undefeated state champions. Maybe that carries more weight than the other ones. Waverly, a clash of titans, certainly. Kind of the new guard ushering out the old. Your thoughts on Liberty besting Parish?
Yes, for sure. Y'all talked about Brady Janicek a lot, but I just kind of wanted to touch on the more just like side of things that he was there all 4 years of high school. And in a time when Liberty and Parrish and so many teams brought in so many transfers, he was there. Like y'all said, he bought in. I'm not going to recap what y'all said, but just how cool for him emotionally, just to say, hey, I did it my junior and senior year. I didn't transfer anywhere. No shade to any of the transfers. It's the time we live in, but really cool for him. Next thing I wanted to touch on, Chase Garnett, 171 rushing yards at halftime. I just think that's so insane. Maybe, I mean, y'all said there were multiple reasons why Liberty won the game. Their secondary was a big reason. But I mean, Parrish couldn't stop Chase Garnett. There were a couple stops in there, but like y'all talked about earlier, I forget which running back it was. He had a couple big runs, but it was a lot of 7 yards, 8 yards, and just kind of pounding it and putting it away. That was, I think, a really huge factor. Our TXPS offensive player of the game. What a season for Liberty overall. I will say to y'all's point about All Saints, Liberty's only loss was not a Taps team. And so I don't know if that also plays into the argument of who is the best Taps team of this year that, like y'all said, we'll never know.
That's a good point. Texas High
That
is not
team
a Taps team. They would beat pretty much every Taps team,
they're
but
good this year.
yeah, they
Dude,
are.
they have a guy going to Oregon and they have a guy, they have a 27 offensive lineman. Well, that man's a monster.
I'll
I don't doubt
tell
it.
I'll tell you this. We said at the beginning of the year, I'll say it to you right now, there's no better team I've ever seen play in person than 2022 Parrish. No better team. Never in my life have I seen a better high school football team in the private school level that's better than Parrish Episcopal 2022. Let's say that right now.
Yeah, no, I cannot disagree with that. Bradley Hanna, to close out the entirety of the recaps for the 2024 TXPS season, your thoughts on Parish Episcopal falling to the new Kings Liberty Christian?
Yeah, so it was okay. At the first half, they got me. I was sold. I thought Parrish was actually going to take this one away. It
You
was
jinxed
close.
my
It was close.
pick.
I did. I think I jinxed it. It was a one
Ain't
score
no
game,
jinx, that's
like
an
you
awful
said.
pick.
Fair, fair. But like just to open up the game, so Liberty scored the 50-yard Brady Janicek touchdown. I was running stats for the game. This is one of the craziest stats I've ever had. There were four plays, and three of those were touchdowns consecutively.
That's
Liberty,
unbelievable.
yeah, Liberty had a 50-yard Brady Janicek touchdown. Paris had a 52-yard catch and run by Bryson Fields. Then Nick Wehler scored 23-yard touchdown. And then immediately Chase Garnett had a 70-yard touchdown. That was insane to me. But it all in all, Liberty ended up running away with this one. And like you said, maybe Preston Wood has a shot next year, but Liberty still does have Quinn Murphy for another year. And as we know, he went 16 for 27, 268 yards, and 4 touchdowns. So Quinn Murphy is a dog and he's a baller.
Yeah,
No, he certainly is.
yeah, he, dude, Quinn Murphy is going to be the real deal. Baylor's got a good one there. I want to say one last thing, and then Wes, you can wrap us up. We didn't talk much about it because, he was on the losing side, but what Sawyer Anderson has done this year has been nothing short of incredible. It's crazy. And one thing we're going to be doing, Wes and I have been writing on in the behind the scenes, is a 25 class of 25 article that we're kind of deep diving into guys we've seen since they're freshmen or sophomores, and talk about them a little bit, because it's the class we grew up with, of our community. We started This was our first full season with the class of 25 as freshmen, and my ever first game I covered for TXPS was Bel Air Episcopal Parish Episcopal. It was Sawyer Anderson's first ever game, and it was funny because we talked about it a little bit after the game, where he was kind of like Chicken Little, where his helmet didn't fit him, he didn't fit into his shoulder pads, his jersey was too big, and that was Sawyer's first ever game. And seeing him now is kind of crazy. Seeing the finally from the start to the finish, it's been an awesome career. He's a leader in DFW passing yards. He's second place all time in passing yards behind Grant Connell. He is one of the most in touchdowns, wins. He was one win away from winning four straight, having the same stat as Luke Kearney. Because I was looking it up, Wes, I don't think he ever didn't start a game because of injury. He played all 4 years. And so that would have been the same stat as Luke Kearney. He was one game away from that. What Sawyer Anderson has done in his career is nothing short of incredible. We talk about the Mount Rushmore, right? And what Sawyer has done, he absolutely deserves to be on that. He's beaten Aledo. No one else is beating Aledo. He beat Aledo, Title Town. That 22 team, he was the quarterback for that. He beat Austin LBJ a couple times. He beat China Springs. He played South Oak Cliff, the best I've ever seen him, and I will ever see a private school team play it. What Sawyer Anderson has done for that team has been incredible. Like, Preston Stone started it, right? He won the first two. But him carrying the torch as a freshman was just incredible. And I think he deserves his flowers. I think that 25 class deserves his flowers. And it's been awesome watching him these past couple of years. I know his I remember his parents watched us for the past couple of years. They pay attention to what we do. It's been awesome watching the Anderson family grow up at Parish Episcopal. So thank you for dominating. Thank you for letting us cover. And this is kind of for the whole 25 class too. Like, thank you. Like, if y'all didn't respect us and accept us into the community, like, we would not be here. So thank you, 25 class, for allowing us to cover y'all, man. It's been awesome to go doing it. So Wes, wrap us up, man.
Yeah, it doesn't really feel like 4 years since we were juniors and Ryan was a sophomore in college, and we were just kind of spitballing into a microphone about players we thought were good and teams we thought could go a long ways. But 4 years later, those guys are now graduating high school. We are out of college. We're old, and the podcast trucks along. Just Echo Walker. Thank you yet again to everyone that supported us back then, supports us now. We've made a dozen tweets about it, but thank you again to the interns and the student analysts that came along with us to state and allowed us to pump out incredible amounts of content. It really is cool to see what's becoming, to see everything that we kind of thought it could be kind of gel together. And to guys like Bradley Waverly, Jacob Bermudez, Jake Garcia, Andrea Colchado, Allie Meyer, Jake Schroeder, and if I'm forgetting anyone, I apologize. Gotta have the memory of a squirrel. But again, thank y'all. Y'all truly allow us to do what we continue to do. And obviously, thank you to my wonderful partners, Walker Lott and Ryan Schroeder. We will continue to do this as long as we can. That being said, that's gonna wrap up all the content we have for the 2024 TXPS football season. We will still have a bunch of off-season content, hopefully more than previous years coming your way. That'll start with all district, all state conversation, as well as some basketball. Go follow TXPS basketball on Twitter if you have not already. Mr. Bermudez is making some great content there. As always, I have been one fifth of your host and crew, Wes Tolleson. Walker Lott, Bradley Hanna, Waverly West, and Ryan Schroeder have fantastically been themselves. We will see you in the next episode. See you later.